chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said to me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for its sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened to thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken to thee, for they will not hearken to me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint. I have made thy forehead, do not fear them, neither be thou dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak to them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whither they will hear, or whither they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. That's the sweetness of the word. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of great rushing. In other words, this is yet to come. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass, at the end of the 7 days, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of the Lord at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Then I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked ways, nor from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, then he shall surely live. Because he is warned, and also you have delivered his soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said to me, arise, go forth unto the plain, and I will there talk with you. Then I arose, went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said to me, go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon you, and shall bind you with them, and you shall not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou shalt not be to them a reprover, because they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open my mouth, and you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth him, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. This prophet was taken captive. Daniel had probably been in Babylon, some say 9 years. So Daniel had already by 9 years made a great reputation for himself being faithful with the Spirit of God. This man, Ezekiel, do you remember what Ezekiel means? Does anyone remember what Ezekiel means? Bad teacher. So I'll correct that. It means strong. What it means is, God is my strength. God is the strength of his people. So Ezekiel means God is strong for me. He's strong for every individual, but he's particularly strong for the whole house of Israel. Now, this was probably let's say Daniel was captured first by Nebuchadnezzar in the year 606. That's what some say. Then about 9 years later, then this man is sent, let's say, about 596 or 97, somewhere in there. If so, some say that he was a prophet that studied or mentored by Jeremiah. So if you read Jeremiah, you'll see that this man has much to say that agrees with Jeremiah about the 70 years and so forth, which also Daniel knew about. So Daniel's a little older and wiser and has already made a great reputation for himself. So if you read the next book after this, you'll read exactly what Daniel said. And there are some parallels. But this book is extremely important, because this book of Ezekiel reaches all the way to the book of Revelation. And many things that you read in the book of Revelation are not known elsewhere. They're not known. And some things in this book, if you read the book on its own, you'll find it difficult. You'll find it doesn't make sense. This book is not written so that it makes sense to your will, to your brain, to your emotions. It's actually written to kill your will, your mind, and your emotions, which are idols, and they must die. So he has a hard word, but it comes out good in the end. He has a hard word for Israel, and I'm going to share now three things. Number one, in a few years, this Daniel preached approximately 22 years. So from 596, when he was taken captive, he wants to speak to Israel about their spiritual whoredom, the fact that the whore of Babylon is named right here. It's named. Because you love God, but you never worshiped me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You never worshiped me and loved your neighbor as yourself. Not only that, you did not learn from your sister. 120 years before this time, before the destruction of Jerusalem and Israel, the northern tribes, 10 of them, went into exile in Assyria. The Assyrians captured them, particularly Tiglath-Pileser, Sennacherib, and Sargon, those three. And he had many inroads, and those three kings came, and in their own strength, they were able to say, all the other nations have submitted to me except you. So I'm now about to take you, and you have no recourse because I've taken all of them. But the sister did not hear the voice of God in these Assyrians. And so she went into exile, and to this day, God knows where they are. But that group that went into exile had to intermarry with the people of Assyria, and they relocated them to a place called Samaria, many other places as well. So that's how they conquered people and then tried to assimilate them. And the Israelis now, they're called Samaritans, and they have one of the oldest Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, first five books of the Bible. They have one of the oldest existing Torah, very ancient and old. But there's only a few thousand of them left in the land of Samaria. And but no one has as old a text as they do. However, they only had the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus, and what didn't I name?
Deuteronomy.
And so that's all that they go by. So remember the woman at the well? She was part of Samaria, and she had nice discussions with Jesus about all the husbands she'd have. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's how many she had, five, and the man she's now living with is not a husband. And so she perceived he was a prophet, but all of this was prefigured here in the book of Ezekiel. Now there's three parts that I want you to know about. First of all, in so many years, 11, Israel will be destroyed by the Babylonians. not only their city, Jerusalem, but also their temple, burned to the ground. Nothing will be left except the gold that they stole from their captivity. And so they had the cups, and they had the bowls, and they had all the utensils. And the end of Jerusalem, the end of, it was about a 3-year siege, the end of their power came in 70 years, which Jeremiah had prophesied. So that was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar learned that God was the only God, and his God was no God at all. And he made a decree to that effect, telling all the children of Israel and everyone else in his whole kingdom, you need to listen to the God of Israel. You need to listen to the prophet of Israel, Daniel. So now these two stories are linked somewhat because they're contemporary. And because of that, there was no hope now for Judah unless she listened to the prophet Ezekiel, because he's saying to her, you see what your sister did. And the sister was called Oholibah. But the sister-in-law is Oholio. But the sister, the other sister, Judah, her name was Oholibah, B-A-H. And so, since the one sister didn't listen to the other sister, then she got in trouble, and the whole kingdom was destroyed. And that's no more Israel, because now they lost their Jerusalem, their capital, and they also lost their temple. And so everything now was sad. Everything now was sad. That's the bitterness that he came to Israel, because he realized this message I have says it's going to come out good in the end. That's the sweet part. But meanwhile, it's going to be a long, long time until they see what's happening. That was the greatest crisis for Israel in the Old Testament, that God did not protect his people, who ran to the temple thinking, at least God will honor his church. He will honor his temple. But he did not, because those people would not listen to him nor believe his word. Same problem in the church today. Same problem. The lukewarm church dominates the age. In other words, churches that believe in God, born again, but they never went on to get rid of all their sins, and they never did want to get rid of their love of this world. So they love this world. They love to follow their will, their mind, their emotions, which must die before God, must be surrendered. And if you lose your life, you find it. But if you don't lose it, if you try to keep it, you'll lose everything. And so this message that he had for Israel was both happy in the outcome, but also sad. Because the second thing I want to say to you is that, and I'm dividing this whole book up into three parts just to teach it, because I'm not going to be preaching every week. Other people will be preaching also. The second thing that would happen to them is that the dry bones of Israel after the Great Tribulation, which hasn't yet come, which is in the near future, very near, not today, but in the near future, all Israel will go through the house and did not listen to God at all, did not listen to Ezekiel, did not listen to Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of the prophets. They decided to go their own way. How many know if you boil man down, his sin is this, that he's an idol worshiper, that he fornicates with the kings of the earth, and that he refuses to give up his love of this world. Now, whether you know it or not, and you don't have to know it, many people think they can actually keep God's law and do whatever God said. And so the yoke of bondage was one upon Israel because they did not listen to Abraham and his faith. When they met the law, they did not live it by faith. They lived it by actually trying to do it, and they failed and failed and failed because they wanted their will to be done. They wanted their mind to be independent of God, and they wanted the things of this world. Now, what is it that people want? Very simply, everybody wants emotional and physical pleasure. Everybody. They don't love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, nor do they love their neighbor as themselves because they're in love with themselves. Everybody wants to be lewd. Not everybody does it, but everybody wants to. They want is pleasure. Physical, emotional, intellectually, however it is, that's what they want, and they delight in that. Everyone here, everyone wants it. And if you try to be a holy person, you'll actually suppress those emotional, intellectual, and idolatrous items because you'll follow your five senses, what you taste and see and touch and smell and so forth. Now, those five senses of every man, you're born that way. But God does not want you to have lasting happiness on earth now. You can say amen. I'll say it again. God does not want you to have lasting happiness on earth now, except by faith. Except by faith. You don't see it. All you see is the Bible. And nobody wants to read that Bible, even though they do. Many people read it. Lots of people read it. But to follow it, not so, because their heart is emotional, intellectual, physical pleasure. That's what everyone wants. I mean, you can say they don't want it. They do want it. God made it that way, and then he said, but if you try to get those things, you won't. You'll get them for a season, for a time, but they won't last. And that's the disappointment of many Christians, is you try to get that, pretending all your religious things with lip service, you service God, but your heart is far from him. Nobody ever, 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 ever in the world wanted to love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, nor to love their neighbor as themselves, unless you do it by faith. Now, if you do it by faith, you actually have lasting happiness. Now, I said something that goes against your mind, your will, your emotions, because that's your natural equipment. Those organs in you always respond to the impressions that the body receives from external sources. So everybody really wants that, but they know that's not religious, so they deny that they want that. Now, I can't say the number, but half and half, I'll just say. Half of the people want to be openly rebellious and don't want God at all. The other half want to be religious and say they're better than other people. Because they don't give in to those things, that is, outwardly. But inwardly, though they deny themselves, you actually didn't die. You actually are still alive. Because that's all you wanted. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's all people want, is just cheap, shallow, lewd, carnal, sensual things. Everybody's born that way. And you can't escape it except by faith. But by faith, the only thing you see is this Bible. This is all God left us. When Jesus Christ died, this is all he left us. And he wants you by faith to say no. Not because you don't want it, but because you know you don't need it. Because it's not going to lead to lasting happiness. This book is all you need. This is all you need. And really, it's all you want. You don't know that this is all you want because you want the other thing and you think that I want that more than that. Or you think you don't want that and you're wrong on both counts. Because what you did want was what your flesh desired for pleasure. What you didn't want was this Word of God. But the Word of God is meant to kill everyone that's born again. Everyone that's born again needs to die. In other words, you need to die to your own pleasure-seeking, avoid pain, seek pleasure. That's in everybody. You're looking for dopamine. You're looking for something that lasts, but it doesn't. It never will last. Not only that, it takes a great toll on your psyche. That's psychological death is necessary. Psychological death. And how you do it? By faith. You do it by faith. You say, that's not me. The devil's trying to tempt me, but that's not me. I don't give in to my will. I do his will. I don't follow my mind. I take every thought captive to the Word of God. And I don't look for happiness in this world, which you do. I don't look for happiness in this world. I look for pleasing God and loving God with all my heart, soul, and strength. Now, when you make that testimony or confession, you're actually agreeing with God, but you're disagreeing with your psyche. Your psyche has to die. You, your psyche, your being, your soul has to die. So you're born to die so that you may live the resurrected life on earth. Now, is this a hard word? Yes, it's a hard word because it goes against everything natural. Natural. It goes against everything natural. And there it is. The kingdom of God is not out there. The kingdom of God is within you. It's your will, your mind, your emotions that are idols because they're lying to you. That's not true. What's true is you really were made by God to love him with all your heart, soul, strength. Everything. And your neighbor as yourself. Actually, when you lose your life, you find it for the first time because you realize, hey, that's all I needed. I've lived a whole lifetime and it was all illusion. It was all something that I sought for and never got. And I tried to get it, but I didn't get it. So most lives are disappointing because they're unhappy with what God wants for them is don't sin. I want to sin. I really want what I want. How many, and don't please answer this, how many want to please God with all your heart and soul and strength? You don't. That has to be done by faith. Because you don't see it. You do not see it. You don't see the living God today. You only have his written word. But he is the living word of God. But you don't see him yet. But someday he will come. This is the sweetness. Someday when he comes, you will see him as he is. It doth not yet appear. So still today we have idols. We have spiritual fornication as Israel did. And we're going to repeat the same thing Israel repeated unless I and any other who preaches this word says to you, trust God. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's gentleness, everything that God is what you were really created for. Amen. Everything. And the minute you say no to it, and that's a sin, but the minute you say yes to it, yes, Lord, I believe your words, but you have to do it by faith. You don't see it. But someday you'll see it. And then when you see it, you'll not only not be ashamed, you'll thank God that you chose correctly to believe something which is not lasting because you're believing something else that is lasting. The kingdom of heaven is in your heart. It's in your heart. You have a new heart now. Everyone here has a new heart, I hope. If not, you can come down later. But if you have a new heart because you heard the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, you've heard the word of God written, but you believe and trust God that there's a real God beyond those words, the living God who is now in heaven with God. And he is good. And the more we preach it, you only produce two kinds of people. You produce people that say, yeah, I've already done that. Yeah, I have that. I got that. I don't have any more sin in me. I've got that. No. Or you produce people who don't lie and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me that there's uncleanness in me. There's lewdness in me. There's pleasure in me that I know is not of you. God will forgive you. Unless you see your sin, you won't see your salvation. I'll say that again. Unless you see your sin naked before God and are convicted by the Holy Spirit that truly you have been a liar from the beginning. Don't seem to be happy on that. So I'll say it differently. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Well, I'm not lying right now. Well, you may or may not be. That's up to God because only God judges the heart. I can't. I cannot. I wouldn't even dare attempt it. But God knows the heart. I can't do that. All I can do is judge by outward deeds and say this and that. But it's not perfect at all. Because we won't be perfect until Jesus comes back. And that could be in a few years. That could be in my lifetime. It could be in your lifetime. So God has given him this difficult message. The third part I want to tell you about is these dry bones, he says, and we'll develop this later, these dry bones is the whole house of Israel. I mean, everybody in Israel. And when the tribulation comes that I just spoke about, and those dry bones are raised up, and every bone which is dry in the valley of Armageddon, Megiddo, there's a big valley in Israel, and all those bones will be strewn around the whole house of Israel. They will all go through, all go through the Great Tribulation, Jewish people. Now that's sad. However, a remnant, a very small remnant, will escape. And so they will not be killed. And they are called, Malachi 3:3, almost the last verse in the Old Testament. It says, God is purifying the sons of Levi, priests, not king, priests. And the sons of Levi are kin to the Zadokites, which usually are the high priestly family. So the high priest plus the priests are going to make a perfect sacrifice to the Lord God on high, which pleases him. Perfect. And then God will restore Israel to her former place. She'll be completely restored. They'll have sacrifices going on. Animals will be sacrificed again, just as in the Old Testament, which they never did, with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. But this time, that group follow the Lamb wherever he goes. they've been converted to Jesus Christ. You haven't seen that yet. It's prophesied right here. That they will all, without exception, a very small remnant of Israel. So the third thing that happens then is that Israel will be restored, but it's still not the great white throne judgment, because everyone then after all of that takes place, the millennium, there's still the great white throne judgment. Everyone will rise from the dead, whether they're in the sea, whether they're anywhere, except us. We who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, not yet sight, we will be perfected by God, because he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. So he can't start something and not finish it. So speaking now, not to Israel, but speaking to the church, I can say, and you can read this, I think it's 3:10, Revelation 3:10. It talks about what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Gentile, not as a Jew. The Jews are saved by election that was given to Abraham 2,000 years before Jesus. And those Jews that God already has named, they will be that remnant, and they are called in Revelation, the 7th chapter, 12,000 to this tribe, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 144,000, a finite number. However, you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are innumerable. You can't even number it. Now, I'm not saying 144,000 is the actual number. I'm saying it could be figurative. It's talking about the perfection of each tribe. And that is because the sacrifice has been made through Jesus Christ, and they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they are used to mercy and grace. They're used to the goodness of God. They're used to the kindness of God. You break the law of Moses, you'll be forgiven. You were under the law of Moses, that's all right. It's paid for. And so many Jews then will be in heaven with us, equal to us. But after that, there's still more. The new heaven and the new earth, which is us. Which is us. You are the new heaven that comes out of highest heaven, the heaven over the natural heavens. The natural heavens are the ones you see. You see the sky, and you see the atmosphere and the stratosphere and you so on. But then after that, your eyes can't see. And you don't know what's beyond all of that. Even though they've made excursions into space, it's very, very high. And Jacob's ladder doesn't reach it. So try as you may, it gets wiggly after a few feet. For me, it's 10 feet. I get wiggly because... fell on my head from 10 feet on my head. And I realized it didn't affect my brain at all. So you can actually experience in this world, by faith, you can actually laugh at all that's going on. But it has to be by faith. You cannot see it. The kingdom of God is to be heard about, but it's not to be seen. So you have to live this life without seeing it. No man has ever seen God. None. And so you have to believe in something you don't see. But that is a test that God has for us. And God gives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Chair 5. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not singing happy songs or, you know, leg lengthenings or something cheerful. It actually is your death. What God wants is you to die, because you are the one that has the sins in you, inside of you. And you have to kill those You yourself, no one else can do it. God even won't do it. You have to do it yourself and to say, I'm going to take a risk on this. Because even though I've read it and I believe it, once I act on it, then God will baptize me in his Holy Ghost and with fire to be able to burn up all the sin that's left in me, all unrighteousness. So he forgives your sin but leaves your sin. Now, he's not only leaving your sin, he's making sure that you're cleansed, not just forgiven, but cleansed from all unrighteousness, so that you may now, when men see your good works, they won't glorify you. They'll glorify your Father in heaven. Something you say or do reveals God, and they see the true and living God in you. That's the power, strength. Strength is power. God is strong for you. That's what Ezekiel means. God is your strength. And when you're weak, then you're strong. And when your heart is overwhelmed, because you can't get rid of your sin, when your heart is overwhelmed, because seeking happiness, you don't find it. When your heart is overwhelmed by the problems of this world, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's our theme for this year. Is what God is teaching us as a people is it's not too late for us. Why? Because you're still alive. The lukewarm church, I don't know how many of them repented. Some probably did, because whenever the word of God goes forth, it accomplishes things. So I don't say that no one did. I just say I don't know how many. But I do know this. The lukewarm, as lukewarm, have to be hot by the Holy Spirit. That's chair five. And hot, the purpose of heat, baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. The heat is to burn out all the sin that it no longer has dominion over you, that you have given in to your pleasures. You have given in to them, or at least dreamed of giving in to them, though you denied them to yourself and you suppressed your flesh. That doesn't mean they're dead. You have to die with Christ. Otherwise, you'll still be ruling. So your old self dies and faith kills it every time. Faith kills it every time. Because I don't really see God. I don't know if he loves me or not. I haven't seen him. You're not going to see him. You see, God designed the world in such a way that you can't just say, oh, I believe it. No, he designed it in such a way that you have to believe what he said, being a believer. Then you have to become a disciple, submitted to everything God has commanded of you. Committed. And say, God, I am a Christian by faith, but I'm not yet a Christian by sight. However, I want to be a Christian. Then yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to ask. I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire so that all my sin is gone. So you're born to die so that you may resurrect in this world, so that when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Anything less will not fool anyone in this world. If you try to cheat on it, if you try to work around it, if you try to think, I really think I am good, you're not. God says you're not, so you're not. All you have to do is read the Bible. All you have to do is read, you know, John. You just read any book, it'll say, not one. You can read anywhere you want, especially in the New Testament. It'll make it clear that no one has ever pleased God unless God is in you. And unless that God leads you to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which you cannot do, but God wants you to do it. So you say, I want to, God, and now put in me the desire to act on that, because then I know you'll act and change me. I want that. And then God will actually set you free. The truth will set you free, perfect you in love. Faith will go away when you see him, and only thing will be left? Love. Only thing that will be left is love. The greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. And in the end, you'll be a lover of God. I mean, you'll actually know it. You'll know, will it. You will actually want it. You will actually see it and know, I don't need faith anymore. I've seen the Lord, and the Lord has set me free. Yeah. Now, I've divided the book of Ezekiel into these three parts, and I'll discuss them later. But each part is significant. The loss of the temple was an external religion, and it was external because under the law, nothing is made perfect. It could be the canon law, Catholics, or it can be Sharia law, Muslims. It doesn't matter what law you try to follow. Under any law whatsoever, even God's law, can be turned into a yoke of bondage. And the greatest sin in the Bible is that you're still saying you're following me when you're following your own pleasure. You still love this world. You still have idols. You still fornicate with kings. You're still trying to put church and state together. The government cannot give you any benefit. Why? Why cannot the government give you a benefit? Collects a lot of taxes. Why can't it give you a benefit? Why? Do you know we're a republic? So why can't a government of a republic give you any benefits? Because you'd have to thank them for the benefit. You'd have to worship them for the benefit. They can't give you a 501c3. They can't give you anything because they don't own anything, because everything they own is of the people, for the people, by the people. Everything. So we are a government that truly is righteous if we follow God's word. And so when the government says, I will do this for you, they're lying because they don't own anything. They can't give you what they don't own. If you own it, you can give it. But if you don't own it, you cannot. I don't own your green shirt, so I can't give it away. I can only give what I have. What do you have? Sin. So the government sins when it gives you a benefit. It can't give benefits. Otherwise, Jesus' word would come down flat. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Well, so I can thank God. I can praise God. I can adore God, but not a man. And not a government of man, or not of an association of man. So nothing else can give you a benefit except God. You are the beneficiary of God, and everything he's done, because he's good, is give good gifts to his children. He cannot give bad gifts to his children. All of us are children of God. All he has created everyone, and he says, I own you, I own you, I own you. I wrote with my finger on your heart at conception to say, this one is mine. No emperor can come in between the Lord Jesus and God. So since God is the only God, there is no other God, because it's by faith, and that's how he tests us. That's how he knows whether you're his or not. Do you want pleasure in this world? How many could say, and don't say, but how many you could say, yes, I want pleasure in this world, not God. I just want psychological pleasure. I just want pleasure of emotional and physical and intellectual and so on and so forth. I love this world. Okay. So don't say that. Say this, rather. The truth is, whether I think I want to or whether I feel I want to and whether I want to, I don't know about that. All I know is what the Bible says, and I'm going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God for myself. I'm going to live by every word. How many know that's strength? That is the strength that Ezekiel had to be able to do. One thing he did, he was told, be naked, lay on your left side for one whole year. So he did. Then he said, now I want you to lay on your right side for one whole year. And he did that. And so he obeyed anything God said because he believed that he was Son of Man, meaning not Jesus, but he was Son of Man, a spokesman for God. And so he told the truth to the people. Did they listen? Did they care? No. They actually sinned on and on. No one was impressed with what he said. And so he's coming against the people, and it's sweet because he knows how it's going to come out. The Jews will actually get their land that was promised to Abraham all the way to the Euphrates, all the way up to far, far in the sky, up to Syria, Damascus, all of that. Oh, no, even more. Egypt, and not only that, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which is beyond Uganda, which might even be as far as Zimbabwe. In other words, it may, and I have reason for this, it may actually include the whole continent of Africa. Now, as you know, my friend Robert is from Zimbabwe. His father was the king of Zimbabwe. So he's royal. But he can trace his family back to Solomon. So he's related to Solomon. In other words, he's a Jewish king. Did you hear what I just said? Now, he didn't learn that by reading it. He learned that because Netanyahu, the prime minister, said to him, Robert, we know all about you. Didn't know what he was talking about. We know all about your family. We know all about you. And so what he found out was all the gold belongs to his family. And therefore, he could inherit all that gold, which the British now control, but they control it falsely. It all belongs to him. So he's not only black, but he also is Jewish. It goes all the way back to Solomon. Not only that, it's in the British Museum with pictures. Not only that, the Portuguese also have it. Not only that, not only that. In other words, this whole story is amazing that God would pick somebody lined up perfectly with the scriptures that goes way, way back to the time of Solomon. And therefore, he is also then, because of Jesus, a son like Melchizedek, priest-king, king-priest. No one else can be priest-king except you and I. Everyone here, male, female, doesn't matter. Everyone here, young, old, doesn't matter. All of those things are inconsequential. You are now priests and kings after the order of Melchizedek. Your destiny is not what you think it is, because it's related to your origin. Where did you come from when you were born again? You have a new birth. You're not born by God's word. God spoke and you were there. No. You're actually ek tu theou, born from out of God. You're a partaker of the divine substance. You don't know this. That's why you're spiritual. That's why you're a new creation, kaine katesis. You have to be a new creation, neither Jew nor Gentile. You are now a new creature, never before in this world, not natural. You're not part of this world. You're part of another world, an unseen world that no one can see, and all you can do is believe on this. If it's not good news, throw it away. But if it's good news to you and the Holy Spirit, if you keep reading this word, it will transform you into the likeness of God, spirit, soul, body. Amen. That's why you have the strength you have from the Holy Spirit. Not only are you born of the Spirit, not only are you filled with the Spirit, but you are also led of the Spirit. You are spiritually made out of God Himself. Now, I don't know if you can receive those words, but this book is so powerful. And reading it over and over and over and over again, I'm beginning to see there are some unusual things in here. For example, I'll close with this. In the new age, after the millennium begins, when Jesus comes back to snatch his bride, us, he will also, he will end up on the Mount of Olives, and when he steps on the Mount of Olives, water will come out of the earth, and from then on, this is all in the book of Ezekiel, the water will be so fresh that all the salination is gone. Today it's like 33%. All that salination is gone, and all the mineral wealth and all that kind of stuff, it won't go away. But that will now, all of the waterways in Israel will be so fertile that anything that touches that water will actually produce an abundance, fertile, everywhere you go. And the water will produce an abundance of fish that have never been so abundant for Israel on that spot only, on the face of the earth. So fresh water throughout all of Israel will change the landscape, will change everything. So I just want you to know that there's secrets in this book that are more than ordinary, and if you read them, you'll not make any sense out of them. So I'm not doing this as a segue. I'm just simply saying you need to listen to this book and at least read it on your own. It's too powerful, too powerful. Things that are not said in Isaiah or in Jeremiah or in any other book. I'm just telling you, it's one of the big books. There's four big ones, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and also this Ezekiel book, which is very powerful, and the Lamentations. These books are long, they're lengthy, and they the other prophets is just as good, but they're shorter. But this one is a big one. This one is a big one. It's major. So this temple is nothing like any temple you've ever seen. It isn't anything like Solomon's temple. In fact, the gates on this city are 150 feet wide on the north, on the south, and on the east. Only God comes into this temple, and then the gates are locked forever. When God comes in to dwell in this house, and it could be figurative rather than literal, but however it is understood, when God comes in, no one else can come in. Because all the precinct, the temple precinct, all belongs to God, and it's set aside for his purposes alone, no one else's. All the priests then have to come through either the northern or the southern gate. That's the only place you can come. And all the people have to come in from those two gates. That's why they're so wide. So they're each, all three, are the same dimensions, 150 feet wide. Now, the other one was just this wide, just, you know, regular doors, and then there's three of them. But this one is huge. It's nothing like anything you've ever imagined or seen. If it's figurative, it's amazing. But I have a feeling there might be something real about it, too. Nobody has decided that until we see it. But there's tremendous truths here that will set you free. All right. David, want to close in prayer?
Father, we just rejoice and thank you that your book is full of wisdom. Full of wisdom, full of knowledge, full of understanding that we cannot receive apart from you and apart from your Spirit. But we thank you that we are born of the Spirit. And that it is our heart and our desire from the Spirit to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. So, Father, we thank you that as we meditate upon these words and these teaching, the teaching of the Scripture, that our hearts are drawn to forsake the world, to forsake our nature in the flesh, and to follow after you with our new nature. So, Father, we repent and turn daily from seeking our own way, because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
We thank you for the strength that we have by being a new creation, and that your joy is our strength. Father, we thank you as we continue to proceed through this book, that we receive all wisdom and understanding that you have ordained that we receive, that we might walk in the fullness of your revelation. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Dismiss them.